fiercely won.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels, was over there.
Curtis Sliwa?
There was a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour 12, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities that have been provided for us to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. And the theme song, it's clear. The Big Mac Daddy is in the house once again, Dominic Carter.
Good afternoon on very trying times on this day.
Yes, yes it is, but another low-budget bomber. This guy from Brooklyn, originally from Bangladesh. I could just hear some of the cab drivers now cursing his name. You Bengal dog, you Bengal dog, Bengali dog. That's what they scream back and forth. But we'll get into those nitty-gritty details momentarily of the attempted suicide bombing at the Port Authority annex between 8th Avenue and 7th Avenue underground that connects all the subways from the bus terminal.
It's hard to believe that this is happening more and more in the city of New York.
Well, I attribute it to the lone wolf syndrome.
But it's a big problem.
Yeah, it is. Because remember, the Chelsea bomber, he came from Elizabeth. He was selling halal fried chicken. Then we had recently the Patterson Uzbeki bomber boy who decided to rent a truck and plow through people who were bicycling along the Lower West Side Highway. And now appears that this is a lone wolf Bengali from Brooklyn, former cab driver, who decided to strap himself up with a pipe bomb, but was obviously special ed when it came to that. So we've lucked out because they really haven't been organized efforts.
Right. We've lucked out as a whole, but if you're one of those families from the Chelsea bombing that had to bury a loved one,
sure,
they didn't luck out.
Sure, sure. No, there's no doubt about it, but things could have been far worse based on the ability that the bombers have, particularly in a first world country like the United States, where you have all the supplies imaginable available to you.
Rush hour, New York City.
7:20 in the morning. That corridor between 8th Avenue and 7th Avenue that'll connect you between the A train, the 7 train, and then the 2, 3, and the 4, excuse me, the 2, 3, and the 1 train, that's always crowded. But again, the inept nature of this suicide bomber guy saved the day. But anyway, we've got two days going here, Dominic Carter, before I go under the knife on Wednesday. So today, all day, I'll complete the show with you, hopefully, without passing out, and then hit the drive home at 5, and then sort of re-gear, prepare, because I'm on all IV diet now, all liquid diet. So it's been very consuming in terms of strength. You know, it's like just evaporating what little strength I have. And then at this time on Wednesday, I should be under the knife. The surgeon should have been removing all my Crohn's disease, the colitis and ileitis that I've been plagued with for 2 years.
Is this surgery guaranteed?
No guarantees. So best case scenario is I'll be in the hospital for a week. Worst case scenario, a month or more. The problem with Crohn's disease, which is a growing problem amongst Americans, it used to be sort of what you thought was a genetic disease for Jews. That's no longer the case because of dietary considerations and other problems that we're having as Americans. Increasingly, many more people are developing colitis, ileitis, and Crohn's disease, including younger people in their 20s and 30s, which was unheard of before. And so I'll have an operation. But if the Crohn's disease comes back with a vengeance, which it's been known to do, then I'll have to go in, probably a few years from now, have another operation. A few years from then, another operation. And that's the problem with Crohn's disease. They don't know necessarily what causes it directly, but once it takes hold in your intestines, then they have to keep going in and trying to extract your intestines to get ulcerated.
So after the initial surgery on Wednesday, about this time, you have at least a grace period, even if it comes back where it'll be a couple of years before it'll actually hit you?
Well, hopefully, unless there are more complications than were spotted on the MRI. There's no way to know because of all the damage that was done by the bullets, the five hollow point bullets that shattered my lower extremities in the back of that cab in 1992.
Why do you feel right now?
Lousy. That's why I'm so looking forward to this surgery on Wednesday. Because it's been 2 years of total hell, pain, suffering, debilitation, paralysis, and it's only gotten worse. So I'm looking forward to it because I've exhausted all other possibilities, holistic, homeopathic, eating foods that I can't even pronounce from places I can't find on the map. You name it, medicines, shots. I've tried it all. Nothing has worked. So this is the last remedy, and hopefully this will do the trick. But anyway, let's talk about Bengali bomber boy here who was living in Brooklyn, apparently had been a cab driver for many years, lost his license, and had decided that he was going to do jihad. He's claiming now, which is sort of odd, as an act of revenge. He told police authorities in his hospital bed in Bellevue where he was taken after he pulled the ripcord that they've been bombing in my country, and I wanted to do damage here. The United States has not been bombing in Bangladesh.
But not only that, think about this for a second. These nut jobs do what they do to harm as many people here as they humanly can. And who do they turn to for medical care as soon as they're injured?
Oh, of course.
Think about that for a second.
Of course.
The people that he tried to harm this morning, innocent bystanders, in this case now, nurses, doctors, orderlies, pages at Bellevue, are giving him the same care that the rest of us receive.
As they do all the time. When I was laid up in Bellevue after being shot in 1992, almost every other room had people from Rikers Island there who were having all kinds of surgical procedures.
That's right.
At taxpayers' expense.
They bring them to Bellevue.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they were chained up, you know, chained up right to the bed with a correctional officer assigned to them right outside 24/7. Tremendous expense. I mean, we're talking hip replacement, knee replacement. We're talking about, whoa, maybe I ought to go to Rikers Island, you know, do a little bit of time and get some corrective surgery. Because it's not being performed on Rikers Island. It's not a chop shop.
You're joking.
You get taken to Elmhurst, Jamaica, Bellevue. I've seen correctional officers outside of rooms in every one of those facilities.
I believe the correctional officers of New York, they have a stationary unit at Bellevue.
Yes.
They're assigned there full time.
Yep. Well, that's because all the prisoners who are going in and out for corrective surgery. Anyway, let's give you some more details on this Bengali bomber boy from Brooklyn. He had a suicide vest on that he had made, apparently at a workshop where he presently had been employed, in which it consists of a pipe bomb, very low budget. He had it attached to his body with Velcro and zip ties, and apparently it went off prematurely. That's not the spot that he wanted to detonate the bomb to have the maximum impact. And he did really more damage to himself than he did to anybody else or of his intended victims. In fact, as everybody scattered from the corridor, you can actually see in the video, there's a MTA maintenance guy just sweeping up there. Now, it's hard enough to get an MTA guy to sweep up on a normal basis. Here, a bomb just goes off. People are running in chaos. And the only guy left in the corridor, other than Bengali boy writhing in pain on the ground, is this MTA guy who's got his little pooper scooper and his little bit of broom, and he's sweeping up some of the debris.
But think about this in a serious nature, and I know you're being serious. You're joking, but you're serious. Rush hour in New York City. When I was arriving at WABC this morning, took the A train down. As I told you, I take the A or the D. We were like sardines in the cars, and they announced because of a police investigation they were not stopping at 42nd Street. It passed 42nd, came to 34th. Imagine if some nut job like this got onto a train like that when this bomb went off.
Oh, very easy to do. Very easy to do. And particularly now that it's colder weather, because you have on heavier apparel, a lot easier to cover up what you may have on. If you have a sort of a suicide vest on, or if you're just carrying materials in a bag that look like maybe you just came from Macy's, or you came from Saks, or you came from Bergdorf. You know, nobody would assume anything other than, oh, he was shopping till he dropped. Or, gee, he looks a little heavy for his body size, but that's probably because he's got extra jackets and sweaters on because of the weather. Anyway, let's open up the phones. Your reaction to the Bengali Bomber Boys' attempt to blast everyone to the hereafter in that corridor underneath the Port Authority that connects it from 8th Avenue to 7th Avenue and all the subway lines. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go. First up in the queue is Ian from Oceanside. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Ian?
I'll just say morning because it's not a good morning. But how did he get here? Was it a lottery? Did the FBI have him on a list like San Bernardino, Orlando, like Tamaron Sarnoff? Thank God he failed, because Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, failed. That's a hot dog vendor saved the day by noticing something, and he said something. And if this guy was on some list and the FBI has more time trying to frame Trump than finding these people, there's 1,000 people Christopher Wray testified to here. They say it takes 40 to 60 people to watch one person. We don't have 40 to 60,000 agents. So we need to round up those 1,000. You don't wait for them to do something and, God forbid, get away with it before you realize, oh,
Wait a minute, Ian. How do you just round people up if they are not accused of anything officially?
How do you make it to a list on the FBI where they're looking at you for terrorism? We know that there's in upstate New York, in Oregon, there's different camps where these terrorist-natured minds, think-like minds, that like Tamaron, they're training in America.
All right, but Ian, you don't even know if this guy is on anybody's list. You don't know how he got here.
I just said that's what we need to know.
Oh, yeah, and you will.
Because it seems a lot of people were. The Orlando, San Bernardino, Tamaron. The Russians tried to warn us 3 times about the Sarnoffs. And it seems to have fell upon deaf ears.
Yeah, but Ian, let's just wait. It's not even 24 hours.
I know, but I'm saying we need to know.
And we will. And we always find out.
And I pray to God he wasn't on that list. But how did he get here? Was it a lottery like the last guy that then brought 22 more people here?
Do you realize how many Bangladeshis are here? Every time you stop by a meter maid, a traffic control officer, they're Bangladeshi. They wear a uniform that looks like the NYPD. They're almost all Bangladeshi. So how did he get here? I mean, it's been tens of thousands of Bangladeshis who have come here.
But you know, Curtis, what I'm more alarmed with and concerned about, I don't know if you saw the movie with Bruce Willis, Annette Bening, and Denzel Washington, The Siege.
Sure.
Which is about...
My voice is in there.
Really? I didn't know that.
I get residuals from time to time.
Okay, well, the movie is about a bunch of lone wolf attacks. I believe they were lone wolf attacks here in the city of New York.
Yes.
And I fear that that's exactly... that Hollywood meets reality
and
here.
And Bruce Willis wanted to round everybody up.
That's
every
right.
Muslim up. And the only one standing between him and that was Denzel.
And you were in the movie?
Not really in it, just my voice.
Oh, okay.
Coming out over the radio in one of the cars as we were describing what was transpiring over the city.
And so the incident with the bus in the movie, the incident at the Broadway Theater where the woman is coming down the stairs and her arm has just been blown off.
Yes.
I fear that reality, Hollywood meets reality, it's becoming more increasingly
people,
clear in
people
New York.
Are claiming this guy did this because Trump decided to put our embassy in Jerusalem. There's no reason to believe that. The guy is telling the cops at Bellevue, they've been bombing in my country and I wanted to do damage here. Now, this sounds a little bit like a nut job. we haven't bombed in Bangladesh, and he's originally, apparently, from Bangladesh. So let's hold our horses, wait until we get more information on who this Kukulamunga is, the Bengali bomber boy who proved to be special ed. Lucky for us. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house. We're talking about Bengali bomber boy this morning and his attempt to blast everyone into the hereafter in that Carter between 8th and 7th Avenues below the Port Authority. He failed. Let's go to Frank in Brooklyn. Welcome to WABC, Frankie.
Good morning, Mr. Silva, Donald Carter. My question to you is, are you really surprised by this? I mean, I know I wasn't shocked when I heard it this morning, and I know it's going to happen again and again and again. So why is this happening? Why are there not true consequences for people when they do something wrong?
Define true consequences, Frank.
Okay, based on the crime now, okay, and the evidence pertaining to the crime, what you did. This guy, is it a mystery as to him trying to blow up the subway? No. So why do they hassle him? Why does it'll be 5 years before this guy is tried. I know in my lifetime, I've been upset many times that weren't exactly correct. And the only thing that stopped me was fear and common sense and consequences. I wasn't going to do 20 years in a slammer for some guy to cut me off the road or said something or anything else that pertains to that.
Well, I'm sure, Frank, this guy is looking at serious time. It may take 2 or 3 years to bring him to trial, but he will be convicted and he will do serious time.
And quite frankly, I don't think he cared about the ramifications. When you strap on a suicide vest, you're not anticipating you're going to live. So you're not thinking, gee, I'm going to do 20 years. You're thinking, I'm going to have unprotected sex with 72 virgins as I take the Paradise Express and zoom myself up to Allah's side, right? I mean, that's the whole goal. Anyway, let's go to Pete in Vernon. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Pete.
So you're going to hear a lot of people, you know, we need to find out where this guy came from. You know, how did he get here? Listen, none of that really matters. This is the new reality. Like, these things, it doesn't matter. There are always going to be cracks in the system. And people that want to fall through and do harm this is the new reality. What we need to do as Americans is be vigilant, get your nose out of your phone and look around and be aware of your surroundings and live every day happy. Because this is the new reality. These things are going to happen. I mean, the blueprint is, the cat has already been out of the box. It doesn't matter where he came from, how long has he been here, what's the motive. We all know the motive. We need to be vigilant. We need to be prepared. We need to be aware of our surroundings. And we need to, you know, stop living in a fantasy land. The gig is up. This is the new reality. We need to prepare and deal with it the best way we can.
We will see if, in fact, any people had a heads up on what it was that his intentions were, particularly at his workshop. So apparently wherever he was employed, this is where he manufactured suicide bomb.
This is a new reality, and the police commissioner tweeted about this just a short time ago. You know, the campaign may sound corny. If you see something, say something, but it's effective.
Okay, but unless this guy had wires protruding outside of his North Star jacket, how would you tell? How would you know? I mean, particularly in the wintertime when people are all appareled up, how would you know? Let's go to Alex in Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter. Alex?
Hey, good afternoon, Curtis. Dominic?
Good afternoon, Alex.
Yeah. Let's face the true reality. We're vulnerable. We're vulnerable on all the angles. The big city, very hard for the NYPD to cover. See something, say something. Yeah, like he just said, unless you see wires coming out, you can't really tell. Right now, people wear heavy jackets. They can cover up easily. And we're just vulnerable on so many angles. And these people are suicide. They don't care about killing themselves and hurting a lot of people. I think that if we're able to catch anybody snooping the internet, looking for bombs to make or stuff like that, or any terroristic website, we should snatch them up. Snatch them up, just like they snatch up child pornography people. They snatch them up, and they haven't actually raped the child, so they're on the site, they're able to prove so, and let's arrest them.
Well, that's what special units do every day, is they trawl through the internet looking for these lone wolves who are reaching out to whether ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or other nut job organizations that are intent on destroying all of us, and then trying to cultivate a relationship, and then all of a sudden move in and make an arrest. But if we notice, the guy in Elizabeth, New Jersey, apparently was not doing that. Guy in Paterson, New Jersey, apparently the most recent case, when he took that rental truck and plowed through the bicyclists in the lower west side of Manhattan, and now maybe even the case of Bengali bomber boy, they just appear to be lone wolves. Very, very difficult to extricate from them because their conversations and their communications may be very limited.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Now him gone a Rikers Island. He never won go a Rikers Island. But now him gone a Rikers Island. Mm-hmm.
1237. Dominic Carter in the house today. And, Dom, it's interesting because your mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio.
My mayor.
Yeah, your mayor. I didn't vote for him, neither time. Unfortunately, he's like a plague. We're stuck with the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, now for another 4 years. But he has been incapable of controlling the violence on Rikers Island and some of the other correctional facilities of New York City. It just seems to be growing in volume, even though we have less inmates and yet the same number of correctional officers. So you would say, wait a second, half the number of inmates, the same number of correctional officers. How is it there's so much violence? Inmates on inmates, inmates on correctional officers on inmates. Just a lot of it of late. Well, the mayor has decided, in order to address the violence on Rikers Island, that free pizza for inmates who are showing good behavior, who are following the rules, who are not stashing straight-edge razors in their mouth, you know, out of sight, out of mind, or taking a scalpel, covering it with saran wrap and jamming it up their Hershey Highway in order to avoid detection so that they can slash an MS-13 member or a Blood or a Crypt or a Latin King. That if, in fact, you decide to be a good boy when you're on Rikers Island waiting for a court appearance because you couldn't make bail for most parts, that's why you're there, you're going to get pizza.
Well, you're going to laugh at me, but yeah. I can understand the pizza idea. If you can motivate them and give them an incentive to be on their best behavior, you'd be surprised how far some pizza might go.
All right, but apparently that has not worked. I think we would both agree.
Yes.
The slashings and the all-out assaults, the anarchy in the correctional facilities continues. So now the mayor has decided, well, let's try the same approach to the court system, the criminal court system, where a lot of times guys and gals get jacked up and they're being detained and then they have to go for arraignment. Or they have to come back because they got a disappearance ticket, a.k.a. a desk appearance ticket with the date and the time and the court that you have to be there so that your charges can be adjudicated. So the mayor's staff has figured we're going to put aside $880,000, make that $800,000, because we want to dispense amongst everyone coming in to their court assignment questionnaires, 144 questions. And if you're kind enough to respond to the questionnaire, we're going to give you, at the sucker taxpayer's expense, a $15 Dunkin' Donuts gift card.
One more time?
If you are willing to submit answers to 144 questions on a questionnaire that has cost $800,000 to put together, to manage and distribute, then at taxpayer's expense, you are going to get a $15 Dunkin' Donuts gift card to take home with you.
Dumbest idea I've ever heard. One. Two, They're going to take the results of this survey and put it in a closet somewhere. No one will study this for 20 years. And three, why would you reward very bad behavior in the courtrooms with a $15 gift card?
Well, I'll explain why it's a good idea, but there shouldn't be a reward attached to it. Because there are two places you can go, Dominic Carter, that I've been often in my life that are the most inhospitable places you would ever want to visit. One is a precinct, a local police precinct, just to report crime. You're not even getting collared or locked up. You're not even appearing there because a sergeant, a detective has told you, hey, come on down to the station house. We got some questions to ask you, kid.
Why are you making that face?
Because that's always the kind of face I got when I would get a call. Hey, kid, we need you down here at the station house. We got some questions to ask you. And don't bring your lawyer. It's like right away, you're telling me not to bring the lawyer. That's my right to have a lawyer there when I'm questioned. So the point being, you walk into a precinct. The desk sergeant looks at you like you're a piece of dreck. Doesn't matter who you are. Like, you're interfering with our work.
Wait, wait, wait. First, you have to get to the desk sergeant. Don't
well,
forget.
Well, that's true.
Wait. Hold your story for 5 seconds. Can you explain to me why downstairs at Penn Station, you know, they have the area where the police, the Port Authority police, I'm not sure exactly. Maybe, I don't know if it's a New Jersey cop, but right near the restroom, there's a police officer stationed.
Yes.
But you can't get close to the officer to ask the officer a question because they have it roped off where you can only get 5 feet away.
Yes.
Why is that? Do folks throw stuff on the police?
No, because the cops, they don't want to do interaction with people. First of all, they shouldn't be in that booth sitting on their talkers. They should be standing there at a post, available to answer the questions.
Wait, are you serious? That's the sole reason why? I mean, I've noticed this for about a year. It's almost like they're saying, we have to be here, but we don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. They like it because it gives them a high vantage point over the crowd. And I can understand that.
I understand that part. But why the rope about 5 feet? You can only get 5 feet from them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like a judge. You know, you can't get the judge, right? You can talk to the judge, but from a distance. So you see, it's a hostile act when you have that kind of removal of space between you and the people that are seeking your help, seeking directions. Remember, down in Penn Station, you have all these people coming and going from all these locales.
They do have a tough job. Just this morning alone, there were 5 homeless people bathing in the bathroom. One guy at the entrance was literally brushing his teeth. Literally. At the entrance to the men's room.
Was he flossing, too?
No, he was brushing in a very bad way, and the liquids were going all over the floor.
I understand. But at least it's good. He's attending to his dental needs. I mean, come on. Well, let's give this homeless guy a few props here. Most homeless guys have never brushed their teeth and definitely wouldn't floss. Boy, you're coming down on the homeless guys here. Meantime, it's the cops that are securing themselves from the general public. But when you go into a precinct, not a very pleasant experience. Most people never want to go back to a precinct, and the cops want to keep it that way so you won't report crime. Remember, if it's an inhospitable atmosphere, you're not going to feel like you want to go back there again and report crime. Like all of a sudden your iPhone or your smartphone got robbed. You know, you don't want to go in there and face cross-examination by a desk sergeant or somebody else there who's responsible, making it seem like, well, maybe you lost it. Well, you were the girl at the time. Maybe you were half in the bag. You know, why don't you come back a week later or a month later? If it hasn't shown up, then we'll fill out the paperwork. That's a bad circumstance. But even worse is when you go to court. Because if you walk into court, and I've been there so many times, you don't know what's going on in court whatsoever. The judge speaks in a language that only the lawyers understand. He calls them to a sidebar. You have no idea. And in fact, if you're the victim of a crime, there's nobody there to represent you. You know, you've got the defense counsel. Normally, legal aid is defending the mutt or skell who just bashed your head in with a brick. Meantime, you look to the district attorney, assistant district attorney. You're representing me, right? No, I represent the government. I don't represent you. Well, who the hell is representing me here? Don't worry about it. We'll fill you in once we've established a plea bargain. Just like 99% of the cases get plead out. But you as the victim, you're not privy to that. You don't know what's going on.
So we'll brief you once it's a done deal.
Once it's a done deal, and please, don't ask too many questions because I have other mutts and skells that, you know, I have to prosecute here.
Okay, so I accept accept your assessment of the courtroom. But why give these guys and ladies a $15 gift card because to Dunkin' Donuts?
Because it's Comrade Bill de Blasio. Criminals first, taxpayers last. Taxpayers pay the freight and get nothing in return. But criminals, who obviously are a detriment to society, a drain of society, in order to get information from them, will sweeten them up. You don't need information from guys being charged with crimes. You can put together panels, people who've worked in the court systems, people who represent defendants, you know, various organizations, prisoners' organizations that could be well represented. And then you put together a series of suggestions without having to grease anybody or sweeten anybody up by giving them $15 Dunkin' Donuts gift certificates. In fact, I would give them all of my recommendations free of charge. And I got a whole host of recommendations, like make sure that pretentious a-hole judge stops copping an attitude like it's a pain in his tuchus to even be in this court. Why is it he shows up at 10 o'clock, he takes a liquid lunch at 1, doesn't show up until 4, he's half in the bag, and then his court day is finished at 4:30? Yeah, I'll give him a lot of recommendations.
I hope you don't have any upcoming court appearances.
Oh, I always have court appearances. You know that. And, oh, the clerks. They couldn't be more facetious with sarcasm dripping from their lips. You go to ask the clerk a question, you know, about your case. Get over there. I'll call you. You don't come up here. Excuse me. I'm just answering a question. And then, naturally, they offer you 10,852 interpreters, including for Bengali boy. You know, they'll be able to interpret for him in Bangladeshi. But the point being is they don't service you for what it is you need. Like, was I treated respectfully by the security officer as I entered the building? Hell no. The court staff seemed happy to answer my questions? No, they acted like I was a pain in their ass. The bathrooms, were they clean? They're never clean.
Wait,
they smell
like
urine.
Said, I thought you said you're not feeling well today.
I'm not, and this is getting me angry. Because every time I've been in court.
But okay, but they get the information. What are they going to do with it? They're not going to improve the morale in terms of these professionals, how they deal with the public. So what's the point in
it's
having
like,
the information?
It's like squirrels collecting nuts. They'll put together a report after a blue ribbon commission of Comrade Bill de Blasio analyzes it, and then it'll collect dust on some shelf at City Hall. Let's go to Gordon, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at ABC. Gordon.
Hey, guys. I have a question. Isn't it true that when you go to court, if you don't, and your attorney doesn't plead some sort of diminished capacity, you're already deemed to be competent? So if that's true, and I don't know that it is, I'm not a lawyer, but if that's true, when you get to prison, why don't they just have rules? And if you do, let's say, fighting. So you start a fight. Okay. Well, the penalty is they take away dinner for a month.
They take away dinner for a month. But understand this, Gordon. You're in a cell, right? You're in a detaining cell, as I've been in. All of a sudden, somebody hits you. You hit him back. You got to hit him harder than they hit you so that they're going to end up suffering injury. And then all of a sudden, the CO, the correctional officer, the screw comes in. And all the other inmates are saying, yeah, yeah, you see that Sliwa guy, man? He beat that guy up.
Did you have a situation like that?
Oh, many times. So you understand, Gordon?
So wait a minute. Gordon, hold on one second here. So I think it's a safe assumption you were the only white guy in the detention cell?
Yeah, yeah. White guy amongst correctional officers and inmates.
Right, so with a bunch of brothers.
Oh, brothers and Hispanics, yes.
And you hit another inmate.
I had to. He was eye fornicating me. He was mad dogging me. He was going to hit me next. I had to hit him preemptively. This way I set the score. And the brothers would be talking pig Latin in the corner, thinking this dopey white boy doesn't know what they're talking about. They were talking about vamping me the moment I would sort of try to catch a few Z's. So that's why one eye would always be open. One eye, Jack, feet don't fail me now. And then naturally the CO would come in. Oh, starting trouble, Sliwa? Okay, we're going to have to send you to segregation. We're going to have to put you in punitive detention.
And they would?
Of course, because, which actually served to be best, because then I was finally able to close my eye. But occasionally the other inmates would come by and want to treat you to what they call defecation education. You know what defecation education is?
I have an idea.
They
go
fill
ahead.
Up a bucket
and throw it
with
at
feces
you?
And urine, and then they toss it into you while you're in the cell. They did that to me when I was at the Detroit House of Correction for 10 days. I was soaking in feces and urine all the time. And the CEOs, the correctional officers...
They wouldn't let you shower?
Hell no. They'd say to me, oh, what, did you have an accident? You don't like our food? Montezuma's Revenge? Bunch of Weisenheimers. The most inhospitable places you'd ever want to be stuck in. A precinct or a court. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Lewa. The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels, was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Now, interesting, do you recognize this all-white boy group from down south, Comedy Carter?
Yes.
Alabama, right?
Yes.
Although they're not from Alabama. Is anybody aware of that, that they're not from Alabama? Because nobody wants to be from Alabama anymore. And in fact, this song was done as a contrast to Neil Young's Southern Man, where he was decrying, you know, the slavery, the Klan, all the pillaging, the raping, and the killing that had taken place for years at the hands of Southern white men against their black slaves, and then eventually free blacks, who they continued their war against after the Civil War.
I like Ray Charles, Georgia.
So how come Justin B. Love, you invader, you hipster, who has decided to flee Alabama like so many others, how is it the group named Alabama has nobody from Alabama? And then they contrast Neil Young, even though they're not from Alabama, because they're defending Southern white man's pride, right? I bet you didn't know that about Alabama, did you?
Mm.
I bet you Justin B. Love didn't know that about his favorite group, Alabama. But anyway, other than Freebird, oofah
wait,
to
wait,
Olin.
Wait, wait, wait. What is, it just hit me. It took a second to settle in here. What is Southern men white pride? What is that?
Southern man white pride is you need to forgive all of the indiscretions of the white gentry over the years, the slave owners and such. Because, as Judge Moore said in a previous interview.
That's what I thought it meant.
There were better family values.
How would he know?
That's an incredible statement to make, that during the time of slavery, there were better family values in the country. Whose family?
As defined by who?
Judge Moore. And we know what that's code language
for.
So
wait, is this Judge Moore that was kicked off the bench as top judge twice?
Yes.
It's that Judge Moore?
Same Judge Moore. Kicked off not by outsiders, I might add, but by judges in the court system in Alabama. But anyway, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to conduct this broadcast to all of you. Dominic Carter is in the house. The big story of the day, obviously, is the Bangladeshi bomber boy, who we find out is from Brooklyn, had been a cab driver, although no longer has his hack license. He decided to strap himself up with a pipe bomb, an impromptu suicide vest. And as he was walking through the corridor underneath the ground between 8th and 7th Avenues to connect you from the Port Authority bus terminal to the subway system, he yanked the cord. It went off, but it didn't get the desired results. It injured him and three others. Thankfully, nobody was killed.
And we now know that he's here on what's referred to as a F-4 visa, which is reserved for brothers and sisters of American citizens. Came here 7 years ago. One of the apartments that the NYPD and the FBI has raided going into looking for evidence happens to be, you wanted to know what community, in Flatlands on East 48th Street. I won't say the exact number. Where that's the address on his driver's license, and they're looking for evidence.
So Are you telling us that he came over as part of the Schmuck, no make that the Putz's Chuck E. Cheese Schumer diversity visa program?
Well, we're trying to confirm all the details. What we know as of right now is that he came to the U.S. from Bangladesh on an F-4 visa, again, reserved for brothers and sisters of American citizens.
So as other Bangladeshis would call him, Bengali dog, because now you're making our lives miserable here.
What's that, Bengali?
Dog. Bengali dog.
That's the slang term, I think.
Yeah, this is when the cab drivers are yelling at one another. Yeah, Bengali dog.
That's what they say?
Yes, because they're Bangladeshis, many of them.
Mm.
And they really get intense. Mm. And they don't like Indians. Indians don't like Bangladeshis. Bangladeshis don't like people from Sri Lanka.
So it's almost like Latinos and Dominicans.
Oh, yeah. And Puerto Ricans and Cubans who can go right on down the line. You know, it's the ethnic differences. We think there's solidarity, but trust me, there's no solidarity. When you hear a guy yelling out from his cab, hey, you Bengali dog. And I bet you there are Bengalis now cursing this guy because there's going to be in tremendous scrutiny on their community as a result of what appears to be, although we're not totally sure, a lone wolf action. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. But there he was in all of his glory in Pensacola, 25 miles away from Mobile and the Alabama border, when the president, just before the start of the weekend, decided to host a rally to get Judge Roy Moore elected the next senator of the state of Alabama.
So did you see what happened today? You know the yearbook? Did you see that? There was a little mistake made. She started writing things in the yearbook. What are we going to do? Gloria Allred. Anytime you see her, you know something's going wrong.
And then there was the robocall made over the weekend that is going to Republicans throughout the state of Alabama, urging them to rise and shine tomorrow and to vote for Judge Roy Moore.
Hi, this is President Donald Trump, and I need Alabama to go vote for Roy Moore. If Alabama elects liberal Democrat Doug Jones, all of our progress will be stopped cold.
Now, that's not a bad robocall. I've done quite a few myself, and they're annoying to receive. But can you play that one more time? Because that's actually about as good and succinct as a robocall as I've heard. Because many of them, they're too long-winded, too long, and people just introduce the person to Mr. Click, even though it's not a real person on the other end. It's a pre-recorded message.
Hi, this is President Donald Trump, and I need Alabama to go vote for Roy Moore. If Alabama elects liberal Democrat Doug Jones, all of our progress will be stopped cold.
Now, see, that's not a bad robocall, because that gets across, this helps me if you elect him. And more importantly, you don't need a liberal progressive Democrat. And it's short, sweet, and to the point. And a reminder, I'm sure these are going mostly to Republicans and maybe some independents, to get out there and vote for Judge Roy Moore.
Alabama went for Trump by a 2-1 margin.
Overwhelmingly.
Overwhelmingly. And so the president, one, I'm still stuck on the fact that the president of the United States came that close to Alabama to campaign for a pedophile, alleged pedophile, and the president of the United States, the president of the great state of the United States of America, is, for all purposes here, attacking a victim, as he went after the young lady over the woman now, apparently, over the yearbook. The president of the United States.
Yeah, but you understand, Dominic, in this time, this media saturated time of all these pervs and these violators of women being exposed, the president knows he can't extricate himself from Judge Moore. He's got 17 women lined up who are alleging that he's a perv.
But here's the difference. Trump is already elected. We can revisit all we want to. He already took the oath of office a year ago. There's very little you can do to President Trump at this point. Why would you put your neck on the line for Roy Moore? Why? It just defies logic.
Well, that's not what he originally did. And obviously his daughter tweeted out, you know, there's a special place in hell for pedophiles. And then all of a sudden the president decided, I guess, in looking at the numbers, better to have a pedophile in there I can depend on than Jones, who I can't depend on. But anyway, let's go back to the original interview that Judge Roy Jones made with Sean Hannity when he claimed that he knew two of the young women that were his accusers.
Do you remember ever going on a date with her? She said that you asked her out on the first of several dates, but nothing progressed beyond kissing.
I don't remember specific dates. No, I do not. And I don't remember if it was that time or later, but I do not remember that.
But you know her, but you never dated her ever. Is that what you're saying?
Know her, but I don't remember going out on dates. I knew her as a friend. If we did go out on dates, then we did, but I do not remember that.
Okay, so back then he remembered two of his many accusers. They happened to have, at the time he was snacking on them, they were 16 and 17, so they weren't 14. And neither of those 16 or 17-year-olds alleged that he was, like, groping or trying to violate them. Basically, it was like necking, kissing.
So what's the message out of all of this?
Well, the message is, listen to him again yesterday. It's as if he never had that original conversation with Sean Hannity.
I did not recognize any of those people.
Sure.
I did not know them. I have written cards, graduation cards. I have known families. I've known a lot of people throughout my life. But these allegations are completely false. I did not date underage women. I did not molest anyone.
Right.
And so these allegations are false.
So who's he lying to? Is he lying to the interviewee yesterday, or is he lying to Sean Hannity originally? The reality is he was telling the truth to Sean Hannity originally and realized that created a problem for him, acknowledging even knowing any of his accusers or having any kind of a relationship with him.
And so the lesson to every man, the bad lesson, every man in America, the lesson from Judge Roy Moore is deny, 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 unless there's physical evidence that proves elsewise, just deny and it might work for you. It may, in all likelihood, it's about to take Judge Moore for all of his baggage to the United States
right.
Senate.
And he's following the Donald Trump method of dealing with this. Deny everything. Deny everything. Don't give an inch because they're going to take a mile. We're going to be talking about that in the 2 o'clock hour. It was a press conference earlier today in which a number of those accusers, the 17, came forward again. To allege that the president had perved on them, and they want to know what's going to be done in this climate of change now. Hashtag me too. 1-800-848-WABC. But it didn't stop there. Dean Young, campaign spokesperson for Judge Roy Moore, weighed in.
I'm not sure why they did it. I don't believe them, and the people of Alabama don't believe them. But I guess, you know, one of them's in Time magazine. One of them was on your show. In this world where everybody wants to be on TV, you know, maybe that's the reason. I'm not sure why.
So the reason that all these women, separate from one another, not having any kind of relationship, would come forward is they just wanted to be TV queens, you know, get their 30 seconds of fame and spotlight.
Right. But when this is over, these women go back to their communities where they will not be treated the same as before they made these allegations. So there's no fame in this for them. And I mean, it insults the intelligence. You got to give it to him, though. You got to give it to President Trump and Judge Moore for coming up with this scam?
Deception.
Deception.
Yeah, it's a deception. Because remember,
deny it all.
Judge Moore already acknowledged that he knew two of the young girls when they were 16 or 17. And again, those women were not charging him with the most egregious of offenses, other than he was necking with them and dating them.
And then look at where the president took it himself. We saw the tape.
Yes.
We heard the tape.
Yes.
Then the president said, that might not be me. It was manipulated.
And then Billy Bush had to pimp slap him down and said, oh, damn right it was you, Donald Trump, because I was in that tour bus with you at the time you said it. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Interesting. A Fox News poll indicates that Jones is 10 points up because the Democrats are more energized to come out and vote. The Republicans feel like, even if they're Judge Moore's supporters, that they've got to go take a hot shower because his campaign has been so miserable.
Well, that explains, one, it's my strong belief that Judge Moore will win this election. It explains why he was basically nowhere to be found this past weekend campaigning, because frankly, he can do more harm than good if he appears before the cameras.
Well, I have news for you. You couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. Jones is going to beat him. Anyway, let's go to John in Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. John?
Hey, guys. Another Monday, another perv investigation, or perv discussion. But, you know, I was thinking Donald Trump, probably the reason he has to support Roy Moore is to take the heat off of him. Because if he said, you know, this guy should pay, there should be penalties, then it's, you know, like he's almost like saying, well, yeah, I should too, and you should come after me too. Right?
Yeah, but, John, I think the reverse has happened. Ever since he gave complete support to Judge Roy Moore, after initially it looked like he wouldn't, especially after his daughter, Ivana Trump, sent out that tweet that there's a special place in hell for pedophiles and that she believed all of his accusers, I think he has actually drawn more attention to himself now because of his support for Judge Moore.
True, but I, you know, just think him throwing him under the bus, probably, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, but throwing him under the bus might just then, like, lead to saying, okay, well, you're next. I don't know.
I think he could have just taken a pass on the whole thing and just said, I'm leaving it to the people of the state of Alabama
in fairness to the president, he was between a rock and a hard place. If you do nothing and a Judge Moore loses, that's a key, strong Republican seat gone.
Understood.
And a closely divided U.S. Senate. So the Republicans could not lose that seat. But my God, they've got to go take a shower. How could you endorse this man?
Well,
and stand by him.
Well,
and raise money for him. And after you distance yourself, McConnell, the RNC, now it's like, oops, the president says he's cool. We're back with him.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about a Democrat who's going to bite the dust soon. We think. Congressman Alcee Hastings, $285,000 spent in hush money, taxpayers' expense. He goes, I had no idea the government spent that money. They never told me. 1-800-848-WABC. To the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house. And it's Tyke, first up in the queue, calling from New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Tyke.
How you doing? Dominic.
Yes, Tyke.
I got a question for you.
Shoot.
What crime did Judge Moore really commit? He hasn't really been convicted yet, okay? Secondly, I just want to share something with you. When I was 23, I dated a 16-year-old. She looked like she was 24. I looked like I was 18.
Well,
and my grandmother had my mother when she was 15, back in the 1930s.
Right, but back in your mom's day, it was somewhat different. I want to say that you're lucky, but maybe that's not the right word. But if law enforcement or her mom, talking about the underage young lady that you dated, had complained and filed a complaint with law enforcement, you would have had a problem, Tyke.
Right. Right.
But so it's called, and the problem is called, I believe
it's called jailbait.
It's called statutory rape.
Jailbait. You mean tell me, Tyke, you had no idea that she was jailbait?
No.
I agree with Tyke on that. So some of these young ladies look like they're older women when they're young. Don't look at me like that. Why are you looking at me like that?
That's what guys always say about jailbait.
Right, but in fairness to Tyke, some young ladies do look older.
Well, Tyke,
but that's still no defense in the court of law. It's called statutory rape.
No, understood. But Tyke, I'm somewhat doubtful. Guys are always saying, well, I didn't know she was 16. I didn't know she was 15. And say, that's jailbait. What are you talking about? When in doubt, don't have anything to do with them. Let's go to Kirsten calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Kirsten.
Hi. I'm glad that Dominic Carter is there today because he's pretty reasonable. You know, sexual harassment was ubiquitous when I was younger and looking for jobs and things. However, I'm beginning to feel sorry for these men. There's a presumption of innocence that's fundamental in our legal system, and nobody is giving these men a chance to put their case on record. Charlie Rose, Matt Lauer, Al Franken, somebody just makes an allegation and poof, they're gone. They're pushed out.
And Kirsten, Harvey Weinstein, 100 women have come forward.
All right, I believe in Harvey Weinstein.
Okay, he's a pig. He's a hazurai, right?
But the others, there should be at least a chance to put their case on. Now, when it comes to Judge Roy Moore, all of these allegations seem to be 40 years ago. First of all, the statute of limitations would have run on this in a court of law. And the other thing is that if these allegations are all 40 years old, can't we give him some credit for perhaps maturing and a changing?
I respect your point of view. I really do. So we should give Judge Moore credit for the fact that he's matured over the years and learned how to hide the fact that he's a pedophile that likes to, as Curtis would say, snack on little girls. And we should ignore the fact that he ruined some of these young ladies' lives where mentally they were never the same after they had this encounter with Judge Moore. Is that what you're really saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that perhaps he has matured, that there were no allegations from anybody.
Kirsten, the only way I would agree to that is if they adopt what was done in South Africa after apartheid. Truth and reconciliation. You had to come forward first and admit your sins.
That's not going to happen.
Clean out your closet, and then you get forgiven. You get chastised, but you get forgiven. But do you really think, like with Dustin Hoffman, the most recent allegation against him in which he's denying, that's three women.
So wait, what part are we going to forgive about Judge Moore? Are we going to forgive the part about the young ladies? Are we going to forgive the part that blacks did better in slavery? Are we going to forgive the part of the comments that he makes about lesbian, gays, and transgender people? Which part are we going to forgive?
We'll forgive him for memory loss. Because at his age, dementia starts setting in, Jeff Sessions.
And so we're going to forgive him and make him a United States Senator.
Well,
join the ultimate boys club.
The Justin B. Loves, the people of Alabama, the three-eyed cousin fornicators who live in their trailer parks, and they think that the South will rise again.
And wait, where do I fit in that when the South is going to rise again? Meaning me as a brother. Where do I fit in that?
You don't want to be down there when that happens. Just stay up right here, up in the north,
north
of the Mason-Dixon line.
Some say the liberals and the northerners are even worse.
Yeah, well, when the southerners think that it's Civil War II and they could have slaves again, I think you're going to want to be north of the Mason-Dixon line. But on that note, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
A big fish here is on the hook, and it's a fish that the Democrats have always tried to shun. It's Congressman Alcee Hastings of Florida. Now, if the name resonates to you, it should, because this guy is so crooked that when he drops dead from greed, they're going to have to find a Black & Decker power drill to drill him in the casket into the ground because he is that crooked. Remember, it was back in 1981 that while sitting as a federal judge, he was charged with accepting a $150,000 bribe in exchange for a lenient sentence and a return of seized assets for 21 counts of racketeering. As a result of that, the United States Senate decided to impeach him for bribery and perjury by a vote of 413-3. He was then convicted in 1989 by the United States Senate, becoming the sixth federal judge in the history of the United States to be removed from office by the Senate. And you say, well, how is it that he was able to run for office and become a congressman after that? Because the Senate had the option to forbid Hastings from ever seeking federal office again, but they didn't trigger it. So what did he do? He started the climb. He ran for Secretary of State in Florida in 1990, and then in a predominantly Democratic district that incorporated West Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale, he became the congressman representing that area in 1993. And now he's back on the radar screen.
Are you surprised?
No. But this one, this is big money that was paid out to keep things hush, hush, mush, mush. There was a payout of $220,000 of our tax money in order to shut up his accuser, Winsome Packer, a former staffer on a Congressional Human Rights Commission who claimed that Alcee Hastings was perving on her and sexually harassing her. Hastings has denied harassing Packer and said he had no idea that the Treasury Department paid her off in the 2014 settlement. He had no idea that the Treasury Department, in order to make these charges go away for him, paid this woman off to the tune of $220,000 of our hard-earned tax dollars. Quote, I am outraged and any taxpayer dollars were needlessly paid to Ms. Packer. I didn't do this. Hastings said the suit Packer filed against him was ultimately dismissed. Of course it was dismissed because it was a settlement.
Right, right, right.
In order for her to say hush, hush, mush, mush.
Judge Hastings, what Congressman Hastings amounts to see no evil, hear no evil. He is why politicians get the name that they do. I don't know of any federal judge that's ever been removed from the bench. Do you? Do you know of any? I know he's only, what, the 6-1?
Yeah, 6-1.
Okay. So, and they voted overwhelmingly to remove him from the bench. And so what did he do? Instead of going away quietly and resuming his life, he said, I'll run for Congress. And won. And now he's back on the hook, and he's doing a Donald Trump, I didn't do it.
It is absolutely incredible. And I definitely want to hear Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan weigh in on this as to whether he should stay or go. I mean, this guy has already signaled us time and time again he's a crook when he was a federal judge. And now he's claiming he doesn't remember that the government on his behalf made a $220,000 payoff to make sexual harassment charges go away on him?
That's why I didn't understand the Al Franken move. As I said on this program with the first allegation with Franken, I said, listen, this smells of more cases will come forward. And that's exactly what happened. And I believe that there still may be more cases out there against Franken. But if Democrats made Franken walk the plank so that they can proclaim the moral high ground, that's not going to work with this president. You think Donald Trump, who continued as a candidate when Christie and others, Rince Priebus, told him basically to get out of the race and abandon him, and he still continued. You think Donald Trump is going to go, okay, now that the Democrats have the moral high ground, I'm going to step back? But Judge Hastings, if Democrats think this is going to go away, they're going to have more Democrats that are going to face this. More settlements are going to come out. This is just the beginning.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Interesting, when I was at Good Day Early Call New York earlier today at about 4:45 to 5, that's normally when I'm on Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays on Channel 5, Duke Castiglione, the sports guy,
good guy,
passing me. He's actually going back to Boston now. He had his final broadcast today.
His father was the big
broadcaster for the Red Sox.
Yes.
Right, and he's a big fan of WABC. But I believe his mother is not feeling well, so he wants to be able to be there. So he's taking a job there. But even he said to me, you really think that Franken is going to resign? Why didn't he resign right away?
Notice, right. I don't think he's going to resign either. He left that door open.
So Duke Castiglione said to me, why do you think he said he would resign at some point in the future? I think he's going to come back.
I think he's definitely going to come back. There's no doubt about it.
Our number's 1-800-848-WABC. And while all that is going on, many of the women who had originally filed non-disclosure agreements and confidentiality clauses as per their settlements with their pervs or their sexual harassers are beginning to break them openly. We saw that with John Conyers. That's pretty much what caused him to retire from his hospital room. And we saw that from one of the accusers of Bill O'Reilly, who's broken her non-disclosure agreement and confidentiality clause. There is a bill in New Jersey now, in the state Senate, that would make illegal the non-disclosure agreements used in cases between employers and employees who claim to be the target of harassment, discrimination, or retaliation. And so that would pretty much blow the lid off those types of agreements and really put the pressure on the pervs and the sexual harassers, because if a charge is made, that'll come right to the surface. That'll be publicly acknowledged now.
Right. That's a good thing, but I can also see the downside. And the downside is, if the goal is to avoid the courtroom and an expensive trial, if you're being accused of sexual harassment, you're not going to agree to this now, because the person can come forward in the court of public opinion and still make the same charge against you.
Yeah, but it's better for the process. Let it all play out. Let it all be aired. Let the public see what's transpiring, as opposed to whether even the private sector or the public sector, you have these non-disclosure agreements in which basically the wealthy just pay women off to tell them to go away. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go, if we can, to Mike, who's calling from, where are you calling from, Mike?
Woodbine, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Woodbridge. Thank you for correcting me.
Hi, Mike.
South Jersey. Hey, how you doing there, Dominic? Hey. I want to comment. I want to understand something. You know, he is a slime ball, Hastings. Listen, Hastings, judge. But, you know, a man deserves a day in court. Just because he was a slime ball in that area doesn't mean he did it over here. It's his word against her word. How do we know they had a,
right,
they didn't have a relationship going on?
Well, wait a second, Mike. He obviously, as even though he's lying now, he obviously agreed to this non-disclosure agreement, in which $220,000 of our tax dollars was paid to his accuser to make her shut up.
Right.
So
right.
How could he not be guilty then?
Could be. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know in this particular scenario what went on. But in all the other scenarios, whether it was John Conyers or the other people, even in Judge Moore's scenario, you know, these people, it's her. They maybe had a relationship. She was coming on to him, and she wanted something, and he gave it to her. And then after a while, you know, things went sour, and she's using the sexual abuse on him. Why is it that the lady's considered to be an angel?
Well, you know what, Mike?
Devil?
Mike, normally I would agree with your assessment, but I can only speak from the journalism point of view. Do you really think some of the high profile names that are out there, I'm not going to say the names, but the people that we've heard, do you really think these were the first allegations against them? Or do you think they had a track record, including with HR, even though HR may deny it publicly? Do you really think they don't have a track record of what they're alleged to have done?
I think a lot of times, I think I've mentioned this once or twice before to you, Curtis, a lot of times you have women working in offices, and they're not dressed like they did in PS 114. They're not dressing like a school teacher from 40 years ago, all right? And a lot of times they're dressing in an attractive manner.
Okay, but Mike, I'm only speaking about those of us in television right now.
Correct.
The people that work around us, they know our image as a ladies' man. They know what time it is. Women know who you can be alone in a room with, and who it's not like this is not common knowledge, because it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be similar, Mike, to saying, hey, that lady who works in the corner there in that booth, she really dolls herself up, and she puts on that very, very alluring perfume. She must really want me. You know how some guys think, right? That it's all for them. That it's all for them. It's like, hey, if she wants to put on toilet water, right? Knock off Chanel number 5.
She wants to wear.
She can, as long as you're not allergic to it, right?
Now, I will admit, some of these outfits, it makes you go, whoa, and turn your, you know, but what happened to the day of, I'm going to sneak a look? I'm going to look. You know, a man's going to be a man. I'm going to look, but I'm not. I'm going to make sure she doesn't know that I'm looking.
Oh, so you're cheating. According to former President Jimmy Carter, in his interview in Playboy magazine, even thinking
The former president has brain cancer. So
he had that eradicated.
Right. He has brain cancer. We have to put that past.
You're a sinner, you see? To think
and let the church say amen.
Let's go to Carmine, calling from Edgewater. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Carmine?
Thank you, Curtis and Dom. I appreciate the opportunity. Have we heard anything about the same-sex allegations as yet?
Well, remember, there were a series of them. This goes back to Fred Richmond, who was a congressman who was hitting on young boys. Then Mark Stutz, who was nailing pages right in the men's room, right in the receptacle in the halls of Congress, and yet got reelected in New Bedford, Fall River twice. And remember, Mark Foley, the Republican from Palm Beach County, who left the House because he was nailing a page. You know what they did, Carmine? They eliminated the page program. So instead of disciplining the congressman.
What about the guy under the, in the bathroom, under the stall, touching your foot?
Oh, that was the Idaho senator.
That's right. That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. He was.
Any women, Curtis?
Any women? Not. I know there have been some. There are interns now. And you remember, just because of Monica Lewinsky, they didn't eliminate the intern program. But they have eliminated the page program, which is the young boys, because apparently they're too enticing for members of the House who can't seem to keep their hands off them. Fred Richmond, Mark Stutz, and Mark Foley. And remember, Denny Hastert, who was the leader of the...
Isn't he in jail right now?
Yeah, for being a...
The former speaker.
Right, a total pedophile. 1-800-848-9222.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Dominic Carter in the house. I guess we should call it the Harvey Weinstein bill, since there are 100 accusers of him, many of whom over the years signed non-disclosure agreements to keep things hush, hush, mush, mush.
I guess he didn't do it as well.
Well, there is a move in New Jersey, as there are in some other states, to make it illegal, the non-disclosure agreement that's used in cases between employers and employees who claim to be the target of harassment, discrimination, or retaliation in any workplace. And I'm assuming any workplace means in the state halls of Trenton, where this legislation is being designed. It's not going to be another one of these do as I say, but not as we do. It better apply to elected officials and their staffs, too. Let's go to the phones. First up in the queue is Bill calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Bill.
Hello, Curtis, and hello, Dominic.
Hi, Bill.
To start things off, Curtis, good luck next week. I know you will do well. I know you will be back soon, and I wish you the best, and God bless you during this surgery procedure.
Ah, well, the clock is ticking, and in fact, Bill, I will be under the knife just about this time, 2 days from now, Wednesday, at Columbia Presbyterian on 168th and 8th.
It will be a complete success, and I believe it because you are one tough dude. And, again, good luck with that. But, you know, I was talking to my son. We were having lunch today. And I've been in the insurance business for almost 40 years. And, Dominic, you mentioned the word settlement. And, you know, in a liberal area like New York and New Jersey, you never know what you're going to get with a jury pool. And, you know, a defendant can be as innocent as can be, yet there is a settlement because we don't know how the doctors are going to testify, the witnesses. And you may have a very liberal jury pool. So instead of looking at a potentially disastrous situation, a lot of these guys that are being accused, and they are unsubstantiated assertions, are buying out because who knows how it's going to turn out. Throw some money at these women, buy them out, and shut them the hell up. And this woman who was against this Judge Moore down here, have you seen how much makeup she's wearing? What did they drag her out of?
Now you're assuming because she is a pancake makeup
yes.
queen that somehow that reflects on her veracity to tell the truth versus Judge Moore, who, remember, said he remembered two of his accusers originally with Sean Hannity, and now he doesn't remember any of them.
Well, maybe there's nothing to remember because it never happened in the first place. I mean, all these women are doing is making unsubstantiated assertions, and the whole world's got these guys guilty. I mean, granted, maybe some of them are, but they're already convicted. I mean, it's not fair. It's not due process.
Okay. Bill, I respect you, but I take strong exception with us describing the woman's makeup. I never hear a woman say, You notice the pot belly on that guy? That guy looks like he's 6 months pregnant. I mean, they don't say things like that about us, not in public. But yet, okay, but Bill, but we feel entitled to say whatever we want about the way a woman looks, and that's not cool.
Well, that sort of leads me to the question of what kind of compound or base do you use for your nightly broadcast?
I'm not the only one here that wears makeup. I was going to get you with the makeup.
On Fios 1. Right.
I wear makeup.
6 to 7, Monday through Friday.
I wear makeup, yes.
Do you use a makeup that makes you darker or lightens up your complexion?
Which one you think I use?
Nobody ever darkens up their complexion. Because obviously, it makes you sweat underneath the lights. You schwitz.
And another thing I want to point out, that when these cases are settled, remember, it's not just about paying off the woman if that's the ultimate goal. You, of all people, know what attorneys cost. I told you I spoke to a buddy who's a federal defense attorney, and just to handle when you're about to be sentenced, he said it was $100,000. So if you can settle a case and pay $40,000 or go to trial and pay $500,000, which one do you think, and you might lose, which one are you going to go for?
So you're basically saying go for the settlement and just save yourself a lot of expenses.
No, I'm saying in some cases that makes sense.
But why would the corporation then settle on your behalf like they did with O'Reilly?
Because it's still cheaper. It's still cheaper.
They knew he was guilty as the day was long.
Or that's true.
Anyway, up next, the women have reemerged to say Donald Trump is a perv.
Curtis Lewa.
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour or two, no doubt that Bangladeshi bomber boy, in setting off that special ed device that he was carrying, the pipe bomb between that corridor underneath the ground between 8th and 7th Avenues that connects the Port Authority bus terminal to the subway system, he was thinking girls, 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 because he wanted to jump on that Paradise Express, zoom on up to Allah and have sex with 72 vessel virgins. The question now being asked, you gave us some of that information about who he is and his background, is, was Bangladeshi bomber boy one of Chuck Schumer's diversity visa accepted folks who were able to get lucky into a lottery, get into the country?
Well, we're going to find that out within the hours ahead. But a shout out to the Port Authority police. They were the first ones to respond and to tackle the suspect. Think about that for a second. You posted the video of when the actual bomb
went off.
Everybody is scattering, running away from this individual. And police officers, Port Authority police officers, are running towards him and tackling him. Think about that for a second.
How quick you are to praise the police, in this case, the Port Authority cops, and not the MTA maintenance guy who, with his pooper scooper and his broom, was actually sweeping up some of the debris as people were running away. A guy who takes his job seriously. Anyway, we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided for this, to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com, and it's Dominic Carter in the house. And Dominic, there are women out there, 17 in total, who have claimed that then-citizen Donald Trump was a perv on them and had sexually harassed them. They are now trying for what they call round two, based on the climate ever since the exposés about Harvey Weinstein and the 100 strong women. Every day that number mounts, who accuse him of all kinds of crimes that he committed against women, including themselves. But yesterday, unexpectedly, Nikki Haley, our U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, that of late Donald Trump has praised effusively, although remember originally in that South Carolina primary, he had no time for Nikki Haley, who had disparaged him.
And who she had endorsed Marco Rubio.
Right.
In the primary.
Little Marco. She came out and said that all of these women, that's right, all 17 of these accusers who now want to try round two against the president, they should be heard from.
Given that consciousness, how do you think people should assess the accusers of the president?
Well, I mean, the same thing is women who accuse anyone should be heard. They should be heard and they should be dealt with. And I think we heard from them prior to the election. And I think any woman who has felt violated or felt mistreated in any way, they have every right to speak up.
Now, you know Donald Trump better than I do. I've had a love-hate relationship with him. You've spent more time with him. When he heard that his U.S. ambassador to the United Nations was urging round two, that these women should be heard from a second time, how do you think he reacted to that? His appointee?
He would not respond well, but the press is misreading what she said. The press is misinterpreting what she said.
Well, explain that to me, because then I must be misinterpreting.
No. And it's not you. It's everybody. They have the wrong spin on the story. The spin that the media is putting on the story is that the women that have accused President Trump should be heard. But they're missing the second part. She's saying that they were already heard and that the voters decided this issue when they had the information on Trump and put him in the White House still.
Well, U.S. Senator Cory Booker, the no-show mayor in Newark for years, when he was there and spending more time in New York City with his hedge fund monsters that he was shaking down political contributions from on Wall Street.
Can you believe this guy is a leading contender for the Democrats?
No, this guy is soft, weak, and will fold like a cheap camera under pressure. But anyway, the point is, he was campaigning with Doug Jones down in Alabama against Judge Roy Moore in tomorrow's election. He pounced all over that statement by Nikki Haley and said, that's right, it's time for Donald Trump to resign because of the allegations of these women. But these women are reemerging. They had a press conference earlier today. Some of them appeared with Megyn Kelly on NBC, including Samantha Hovley.
Comes in like he owns the place and like he owns you and is just looking at us, eyeing us up and down, and then walked into the dressing room where we have two big security guards to make sure nobody but the girls and our female chaperones can get into the dressing room, and he just walks right in.
That was 2006 Miss North Carolina, who said basically he just walked in whenever he wanted, even though the girls at times were completely butt naked and did not wish anyone to be in their dressing room circumstance. Then there was Rachel Crox, who claimed that the president, then citizen Trump, kissed her all over her mouth at work.
And on one day, I decided to introduce myself because I did see him regularly. And he shook my hand, and he kind of gave me the normal double cheek kiss. But then he held on to my hand and he kept kissing me. He kept asking me maybe a question, where are you from? And kissing me again.
Where is this? Again. Where is this happening?
It's right outside the elevators, right outside my office.
So he kept kissing you?
Yeah, he went, I don't know how many times back and forth, multiple, and then he kissed me on the lips.
So that's when she was employed by Donald Trump at Trump Tower. A little different than the story that Juliette Huddy told us the other day, where she said that she had gone to a luncheon with then-citizen Trump, producer of The Apprentice, who wanted to do a spinoff, was interested possibly in Juliette Huddy's involvement. And then when they were going up to Trump Tower with his bodyguard next to him, he planted a kiss right on her lips, unwanted, but never took it any further. And then later on a Fox News Channel program, announced to the audience that he had tried to hit on Juliette, but it hadn't worked. But that was mild compared to what some of these other women are claiming. In fact, here's another one, Jessica Leeds, who says that when they were in first-class accommodations on a plane, then-citizen Donald Trump was all over her, just like molesting her.
All of a sudden, he's all over me, kissing and groping and kissing, when his hand started going up my skirt. I'm not a small person. I managed to wiggle out and stand up.
And then she continued on in terms of what the president did. She said she went to the back of the plane, and upon everyone's departure, she stayed in the bathroom back there because she didn't want to see Trump any longer. And then there's Rachel Crox again, who had been the employee of Donald Trump, saying that he should enter the graveyard of politics.
Over a dozen women have come forward about his sexual misconduct, and we have video proof of him promoting such behavior. In an objective setting, without question, a person with this record would have entered the graveyard of political aspirations, never to return. Yet here we are with that man as president.
So, should these women get a second bite at the apple, a second opportunity to take down Donald Trump? Should he be forced to undergo congressional review because of their actions, their accusations? There's a total of 17. Or tough noogies. They tried it during the election campaign, and it didn't float with the election, with the electors who chose Donald Trump, even if you believed he was a perv, over Hillary Rodham Clinton, married to the biggest perv that has ever been in the White House. Maybe. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Rich, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Rich.
I don't understand. Why is it that Al Franken, who basically put his hands on a woman, which you have a tape of, which obviously it shows a picture of him putting his hands on a woman inappropriately, versus Trump, who not only bragged on the Access Hollywood tape, but also bragged to Howard Stern that he walked in on these women when they were butt naked. How come he is able to skate away? And the Trumpers and Trumpettes think that there's nothing wrong with it, but they go ahead and they hang Al Franken out to dry. This is really disgusting.
Rich, it's real simple. And here's the problem with all of these calls for congressional investigations. Democrats threw Franken under the bus. There's no other way to put it. I'm not saying I approve of his behavior. And President Trump denies, and the Republican Party is standing behind him. Republicans control the Senate, barely. They control the House. So who's going to bring these congressional hearings against Trump? Who is exactly going to do that?
Well, so in other words, what we have is, unless we can get rid of the Republicans, this illegality is just going to go on. And nobody can do anything about it. He's totally
in the case
the
in the case of Trump, unless someone can produce some type of physical evidence, the answer to your question, you just surmised it yourself, is yes. If the Democrats gain control of the Senate or the House, then that's a different story. Then you'll have congressional hearings galore. But until that day happens, if it does ever happen while Trump is in office, and it might with the upcoming midterm elections, but until that day, all you're going to get is the court of public opinion, which is what we're
right.
doing
and
now.
And Trump's whole strategy in dealing with any accusations that even go beyond this just denies everything.
Deny.
Show me the proof. Show me the evidence.
The proof. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, you know, if it's one or two or three or four, but 17?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's go to Robert calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Bobby?
Hi, guys. How are you?
I've had better days.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. But I do sincerely hope that your operation is a success, Curtis.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay. I have a very good and a very fair idea in terms of getting to the bottom of these women trying to have another crack at Donald Trump with the allegations of abuse or sexual misconduct. Why don't these women undergo a polygraph? I would bet any amount of money.
So wait, Robert. Robert, we're going to give you your say. So why doesn't Trump undergo a polygraph?
They should go first.
Why? Why should they go first?
Because they're trying to stir up the dirt. That's why.
Well, Robert, I've actually witnessed somebody who took a polygraph test when I was manager of a McDonald's, and I caught him stealing from the register.
Okay.
So the corporation had the guy go for a polygraph test. He passed it. It's not necessarily the most valid way of determining the truth because if you're a pathological liar, you beat the test.
Yeah, but these women are not in that.
Oh, no, no.
Category.
Well,
you know,
I said...
They would either sink or swim.
I said if you're a pathological liar, and the one who comes closest to that definition is our president.
I knew you were going to say that.
Robert, so straight up, buddy, do you believe all 17 women are lying?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm being honest. Yeah,
why? Wait a second, Robert.
I'm not saying yes for shock value.
All right, but why? Guess. Why would 17 women who don't know one another, have never had contact with one another, they tell different stories in different places, in different circumstances, all across the timeline throughout the life of Donald Trump, the citizen. Why would they all be lying?
There could be several possibilities. It depends on who's behind this, number one. Number two, it could be financially motivated. And the bottom line is, the powers in charge on the Democratic side, they're doing anything and everything to trash this president. There's no denying that.
Yeah, you know what you're sounding like, though? Hillary Rodham Clinton, vast right-wing conspiracy against my husband, Bill Clinton. You're opting to say the same thing. Bill Clinton was guilty, right?
At the end, that's what was determined.
Okay. All right. So then why wouldn't we go through the same process with Donald Trump since there are now 17 accusers?
Even if it was 100, okay?
Well, that's Harvey Weinstein territory.
This was when he was a real estate guy. What does that mean?
He's given an exemption, a pass, for being a perv, a pig?
Because Clinton did it when he was in office.
No, Clinton did it before he reached the Oval Office. He was governor of the state of Arkansas. He perved on Paula Jones. He had to settle with her. Right. That's how we found out about Monica Lewinsky.
He was in politics.
What does it matter, private sector or public sector? A perv is a perv is a perv.
And if we're going to do that, Al Franken was a comedian. If we're going to go based on what they did in past life.
The most serious allegation against
Donald
Al Franken.
Trump is not squeezing some girl's jugs.
He puts his hand in their private part and squeezes, like he described to you.
But Robert, you just said he's not, quote, grabbing some woman's jugs, I believe was your...
Because
he has money, that means that he doesn't do things like that? Is that what you're saying, Robert? But because he has money, he doesn't do things like that.
If we hold him to these standards, then I would say every single guy, heterosexual guy, let me emphasize, is guilty.
Is guilty. Every guy, not every guy, takes their hands, puts it under a lady's dress, and puts it in her private parts, as he's been accused of having done in the past.
That's
and
nasty.
Spoke about it.
That's nasty.
Right? Spoke about it with Billy
That's
Bush.
That's nasty.
It's like, do you realize that is a form of rape? When you go inside of a woman, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be your finger. It could be a bottle. It could be a cucumber. It could be your own male member. That's a form of rape.
You're going to make me throw up. That's nasty.
But that's true.
But it's nasty.
1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
All 17 women have reemerged, accusers of then-citizen Trump that he was a perv. They want round two as a result of what has happened ever since Harvey Weinstein set the all-time record with 100 accusers, and that count grows every day. Let's go to the phones. Dominic Carter's in the house. Barbara from NIAC. Welcome to WABC, Barb.
Hi. I like you guys a lot, but Trump is innocent. All those women came out regarding with Gloria Allred, and she's just, you know, a shakedown artist. So I believe everything the guy before me said. You know, they're all motivated by something. Now they're trying to get a second time around. I don't believe any of them.
So, Barbara, what about the tape where Mr. Trump says when you're a star, and you know what the rest says?
Yeah, it's all case by case, you know. And I don't believe these women. They just
So you're dismissing the tape totally, even though he says that when you're a star, you can grab their vaginas.
Yeah, but that was on the bus. Boys are boys. You know, everybody talks different. You know, I don't believe these particular women you know, with Trump, with the election. They're all trying to knock him down. The Democrats are going in hard.
Okay, but again, Barbara, you know what you're sounding like? Hillary Rodham Clinton when defending her husband. It's a vast right-wing conspiracy.
No, it's case by case. Case by case.
All right, but you're not. But all 17 cases are not controlled by Gloria Allred.
But a lot of them were, and she's Gloria Allred, Lisa Bloom, anybody with them, you know, they're bad news. They're bad news. They're just doing it for the money.
All right,
or
but don't you understand you're falling into the same trap? Is our
perps are better than
your perps, Democrats?
And I believe all these women, some of them, if he was flirting with them, it's like, oh my God, he's trying to grab me.
All right. Well, Barbara, what about the many women who have come forward against Judge Roy Moore, who claimed he knew two of them at first and now claims he doesn't know any of them?
I don't believe them either. I don't believe them. It's case by case, you know. I just don't believe those.
So, Barbara, wait.
You're like Hillary Rodham Clinton?
I watch the news all the time.
So, wait, Barbara. The woman on the airplane that says in first class that he started sliding his hand up her skirt. You know the rest. None of that is true. She just said, "Ooh, Donald Trump, let me make this up."
I do believe it. I do. Well, why didn't she yell something on the plane? I would either slap him, or if I didn't want that to happen, you say something. You don't just sit there and let some man slide his hand up your skirt. Come on.
All right. Okay.
So, all the women
against Judge Roy Moore making it up. 17 women against Trump.
Yeah, because Gloria Allred is.
All right, but Gloria Allred does not represent all of the women accusers. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, are you suggesting that somehow she has an involvement with the other attorneys? There's a cabal here.
The Democrats are trying to take Trump down because we won.
But that's exactly what Hillary said about the Republicans wanting to take her husband, the perv of all pervs, down. You are aware of that, aren't you, Barbara?
Hillary is a ruthless woman.
Okay.
Come on. Everyone knows. It's all case by case.
Do you not realize you're showing such incredible bias here? Your partisanship on this is women are wrong when they accuse Republicans, but when they accuse Bill Clinton, they were right.
No, because I believe the old George Bush, I believe he was a creep. He's an old creep.
All right, so Bush 41, the guy in the wheelchair, you throw him under the bus, but not Moore, not Trump.
No, but it's case by case. He's a creep with a bad facelift. Come on.
I see. Okay.
You know, as I'm listening to Barbara, all I could think about is the current first lady. When they got off Air Force One, she wouldn't hold President Trump's hand.
Yes.
I wonder why.
Maybe she's a germaphobe. Like her husband.
Right. So maybe that's why when he went to hold her hand, she pushed
smacked
his hand away. Right.
Why?
Maybe.
It's never happened to you in your life?
Yes, it's happened.
To me many times.
It's happened.
Get your freaking hand off of me. I'm not talking to you. Don't you remember Bill Clinton when he went to Martha's Vineyard?
That's right.
Hillary wouldn't even look at him while she held Chelsea away from him? Remember when he was... a bit of a pariah, but he got back into good graces when she realized that's my meal ticket to the presidency.
I respect Barbara's point of view, but to say that he didn't do any of this, I mean, maybe denial is the new game. You know, maybe me and you don't get it.
But that's Trump. He denies everything. He only apologized one time. And even then he had second thoughts about the Billy Bush tape until Billy Bush pimp slapped him down and said, "No, that was you, pal." Anyway, right now, let's get our news headlines from Ken Duffy.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
One is the loneliest number that you ever
do. Dominic Carter in the house. And Dominic, when I spoke of the history of Kirk Douglas, you know what town he was from in upstate New York?
Where?
Amsterdam, New York, where they used to make all the carpet in the world, the carpet capital of the world, next to Gloversville, where they used to make all the gloves. And he tells the story that as a Russian Jew, he was bullied and prejudiced against and would never have had an opportunity to have a career in Hollywood had he kept that last name, Danielovich. That's why he changed it to Kirk Douglas.
Is that near Cooperstown where the Baseball Hall of Fame is?
Closer to Albany, I believe.
Closer to Albany.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But he was targeted because of his Jewish faith. He was bullied.
Well, 40 minutes past the hour, I want to get your take on this last topic of the day. And another video has surfaced, Curtis, as it relates to an anti-bullying campaign. It's gone viral. And a lot of celebrities are stepping up. This young man, his name is Keaton Jones, bullied at his middle school in Tennessee. And he was upset in the car with his mother. Apparently, the kids put ham in his clothes, poured milk on him, and on and on and on. Now, I know you've been on a crusade all your life of sticking up for those without a voice. But let's listen to what the young man says in the actual Facebook video that his mom recorded.
Why am I doing taking innocent people and finding a way to be mean to them? It's not okay.
What did I say to you?
They make fun of my nose. They call me ugly. They say I have no friends.
What'd they do to you at lunch?
Put milk on me and put a hand down my clothes. They ran at me.
Mm. I know it just breaks your heart.
Absolutely. And you could just see the young boy just in pain. How many others, young boys, young girls, have been driven to the point where they've taken their own lives, have tried to take their lives, or they just crawl into a shell and they no longer become the vibrant, evasive kind of a person that they could have been because of these constant criticisms and attacks that are complicated now. Because when we were growing up, it was all face-to-face. It was done directly at you. Now it could be done anonymously in cyberspace.
24 hours a day.
Correct.
We want to get your phone calls on this. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. As it relates to this new bullying video that's gone viral. In one second, Curtis, I'm going to tell you what LeBron James had to say about this. But is the problem worse off these days, or are you seeing an improvement? We really want to know what you, the listeners of WABC, have to say on this topic. Here's what LeBron James tweeted to this young man, Curtis. Damn right. I'm quoting here. Bullies are straight up whack, corny, cowards, chumps, etc., etc. Keaton, keep your head up, buddy, and push forward. You're the best.
I would hope that LeBron James does not react the same way he has of late about people bullying him because of his receding hairline. You know, that triggers him off right away. He goes nuts. But there's all forms of bullying. All forms of bullying. And the question that I always ask myself is, years ago, you could go to the person's home. Your parents would go to that person's home. And the parent,
and settle it right there.
The parent may well not have been aware of it or might have been aware of it, and the parents dealt with it. Now, generally, you go to another parent, and whether they're aware of it or they're not aware of it, they're saying, hey, you talk to my lawyer. That's not my son. That's not my daughter. How dare you imply that my son or my daughter is doing that to you without keeping an open mind about the way bullying works?
And it's almost like Curtis, like you read the principal's mind here. The principal at this school is speaking out today. The principal had the nerve to say that the bullying at the school is not as rampant as this young man believes it is.
Well, of course, because why? He's protecting his reputation, his school, instead of saying maybe he wasn't aware of the extent of it, but boy, they're going to make sure it doesn't happen again, not only to this young boy, but to any other student that they have within their charge. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Paul calling from Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC, Paul.
How's it going, guys? How's everything?
I've had better days.
Yeah, tell me about it. What I wanted to comment real quick was I was born with deformed ears. They're very small, and I had two ear operations. I could hear fine and everything like that. But as you could imagine, I was bullied to absolutely no end. I was literally abused every single day that I can remember. And I would tell teachers, I would tell counselors at camp, and literally nobody did a damn thing about it.
How did you get over it, Paul?
Brush it off.
Paul, how did you get past it?
Well, to put it to you, honestly, what I told your call screener, I know this is going to sound really nuts, but it's true, and I'm sure a lot of kids do this. I actually had a hit list by the time I was in 9th and 10th grade. And I was driven to the point where I sincerely believed that I was going to do something very awful. And then, to be honest with you, how I got over it was I made friends with a girl who was pretty popular in the school. And next thing you know, I gained some credibility, and this is absolutely the truth. And I started, basically the kids that were beating me up slowly became my friends, and now they're good friends of mine.
Curtis, you know what's interesting about this, of what the caller and I share in common? Somehow girls sometimes can help you get over your biggest yeah. fear. Because when I was growing up, and don't you start making fun of me here, when I was growing up, I was bullied because the kids would say, oh my God, you have such big lips. You have big lips. And I would go home and cry and cry and cry. And then when I got about 13, the girls started saying, oh my God, I love your lips. And to this day, I get emails and letters at the TV station with women telling me they love my lips. And so...
You know, it's funny. It's funny you say that, because girls now, they would say, oh, your ears, they're so cute, this and that. Okay, great. You know? But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But, now, it's interesting,
I
Paul.
To tell
it's
you something, though.
Yes.
About, if I may... The weird thing is, though, I'm 36 years old. To this day, though, what bothers me, and maybe this happens with you, you tell me, random people, and I mean literally totally random people, like if I'm getting a haircut or whatever the case may be, will literally notice my ears, and I'll know when they notice it, right? And they'll just outright go, oh, my God, you have such small ears. And, you know, it always amazes me when people say that, because it's like, you know, why would you say something like that? It obviously makes the person uncomfortable. You know, when I say to someone who's, let's say, I don't know, maybe has like some gigantic mole on their face, or maybe someone who's really overweight, would I just say that? Like, oh my God, look at you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why people do it, and it happens quite often.
Well, you know the old axiom, big ears mean that you have a big schlong. So I guess small ears mean you have a small schlong. Is that true?
Don't answer that.
Cold hands, warm heart, cold hands, you know what?
Well, the reason I mention that is that's what LBJ always used to tell people, our former president. He had these huge elephant ears, and he would say, hey, look, large ears mean I got a large thing. And he used to perv on people all the time in the White House.
Curtis,
yes.
We are a day and a half from your surgery.
That is correct.
Day and a half. What is wrong with you?
But that is true, right? That's what they've said about big noses, large ears, right? Let's go to John in Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Johnny?
Hey, Curtis. Good luck on your operation. We're all pulling for you.
Thank you.
My comment is, teach your kid to fight. You're dealing with a liberal Board of Ed, especially in New York. My son had an incident. He took one of the school bullies on. He did all right. He didn't win. We got their attention, and it stopped. That's what you got to do. You got to teach your kid to fight.
Yeah, see, unfortunately, that's old school ways. I agree with you completely, John, because you got to put your dukes up. You got to be ready to throw down with these marauders, these invaders. But oftentimes, the school will charge everyone equally. That means whether they started it and your son was responding to it, they say zero tolerance for any violence. And so your son then gets jammed up the same way as the bullies.
John?
No, Curtis, they know who they are. Believe me, they know who they are. They always want to take a neutral stand. So you're bringing it to their attention and you're saying, all right, you got a problem with this kid. Here's my kid. He's sticking up to him. What do you
John,
do that?
John, you are correct in terms of what you're advocating. But I know in my case, I was scared to death. I don't know about your kids. I was scared to death to fight.
I taught my kid to box, Dominic. Okay. My kid got a shot in.
Okay, but John, but wait.
My kid,
John,
got
but,
a shot in.
Okay, so the kids.
Was because he was able to
so, John, the no kids, reason. John, the kids were taking my lunch money. And one day they went to take it, and I went to give it to them. And my aunt, one of the women that raised me, jumped from out of the bushes. She had been waiting for me. And she was, you know, a 5'2" African-American woman. And she said, either you whip his you-know-what, or I'm going to whip your you-know-what.
Mm.
And so I had one of two choices.
See, the way I used to...
Fight the bully, or she was going to whip my you-know-what.
The way I used to handle things is, I would deal with it at a different time, a different place. Meaning, I would jap them. I would yoke them when they least expected it. All-out ninja attack on them. Sometimes it would happen in front of their friends and associates, but a lot of times it was just me and them, and then all of a sudden I would emerge and say, oh, tough guy.
You know, you're built.
Whose dress are you going to hide behind now?
You know you're built a little differently, right?
Yeah.
Because I could literally see you doing this in the hood.
Boy, I used to love waiting to jab people and yoke them and then say, whose skirt are you going to hide behind now? Who's your daddy? As I would squeeze. Squeeze! That's right. You want to tap out now, tough guy?
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Dominic Carter in the house. Up next is Mario from New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Mario.
Hi, this is Mario from Brooklyn, East New York. How are you?
Hello.
I just wanted to say, you know, I went to St. Reed Atlantic Avenue down in East New York by White Castle. You know well, right, Curtis?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, what happened, I came from Italy, didn't speak English. In that school, I got left back twice. And what happened was, you know, at that age, grammar school, you know, 2 years is a lot. So I looked, you know, big, and every time there was some bullying incident, to this day, I'll never forget it, the greatest feeling. I would snuff the guy out. Every time I saw something happen, I would just take that guy right down in front of everybody. And nobody messed with me, only because I didn't speak English, so I had to get the fact twice. But it was the greatest feeling. And the point is, they should go up to kids in the class and do the same thing that the teacher say. Listen, if you see something, say something. We're going to reward you. You know, maybe, you know, we'll give you something nice, you know?
Now, Mario, because you were getting left back over and over because you didn't grab the language yet, and you were shaving like in fifth grade, right? While everybody else was like looking for that first little whisker. They began to fear you, correct?
Exactly, because every time something would happen in the hall, you know, you could see things going around you. And then at that school there, you know, back I'm your age, there was maybe two or three black kids in the whole school. And any time someone touched them, I came out of nowhere. And just, I swear to God, it was the greatest feeling, because I felt so bad for them, you know?
Oh, no. Totally understood. Totally understood, Mario. Let's go to Frank, who's calling, I believe, from Rockland. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Frankie?
Curtis, how you doing? Dominic, I'm calling from Rockland County.
All right, Frank.
From the hood, brother. From the hood.
All right.
Yeah. Listen, my son, I'll be blunt with you, and I don't mind saying it. From kindergarten all the way through elementary, junior high, my wife and I had to leave work multiple times to go over and straighten things out of the bullying that went on with him, until he finally turned around and he said he wanted to become a black belt. And he became a black belt, and what happened was, got into high school, picked that guy up off the ground, slammed against the plexiglass, and the problem was over.
Just like that.
For years. I sat down and fought. His grandmother would say, punch him right in the face, take him down. She's from the Bronx, tough girl. Take him down. Don't worry about it. You're going to go home. They're going to have, listen, Curtis, you say, the thing is, they send them home. We're up here in Hurley, what do you call it, Rockland?
Yes.
They send the kids home. They come with a private bus and pick up the kids and bring them to the school district, and they teach them school there, because if they lose days of school, the kids, then they don't get the money.
Yep.
Right?
No.
They don't
get the money,
so there's a lot to it. The kid finally turned around, stuck his ass out. I had to leave work, pick him up, and on the way back home, I looked at him and I said, can I ask you one question? Did you break the plexiglass? He goes, no, Dad. He said, because that would have cost you money. I took care of business. And I said, I love you.
Oh, today, excellent.
Today, this kid in college becoming an engineer.
Excellent. Fantastic. You should be very proud of him, Frank. The idea is, when you're finally getting vengeance on that person that has made your life miserable, make their bones rattle. Make their bones rattle. They'll never forget that. Let's go to Jerry in Westbury. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter.
How are you, gentlemen? How's everything?
I've had better days.
Good. So anyway, I was listening to all the comments, but you know, another important thing is that, I mean, most parents know when you have a kid who isn't really tough. So what you do is you talk to them and you tell them if there is a bully to let me know, so they have someone to talk to. You know what I mean? And then you could resolve the situation from there, whether calling the school or you know whatever avenues that the district usually has. Like here in the Westbury, they have a hotline that you can call. And it's even anonymous if you want to be, and then they'll address the issue, you know?
Yeah, well, that's so important because the kid, the peer group that he hangs with is going to tell him, don't let your parents know, don't rat out anybody to your parents because then you're weak, you're soft, you're a traitor. And that adds even more complications to the kid's already complicated life as a result of the bullying. But you would think so many generations have gone through this, baby boomers, now the millennials, hipsters, that they would have solid programs in place to protect those whose rights are being taken advantage of. And yet, you go to school district after school district, rich, middle class, poor, doesn't matter.
I don't think this problem will ever go away. Ever.
Well, it can certainly be weakened. And the bullies cannot be strengthened because oftentimes
and
the bully...
You stop beating up the bullies. We're short on time. I hear the music. I want to tell you, as you're about to go to surgery,
I love you, man.
I love you, bro. I love you, bro.
No, I don't go that way.
I love you, man.
I would rather die on the operating table than have you put your big lips on mine.
They got a lip. There goes the lips, comment.
God, I hate your lips.